This is Fresh Air. I'm David Bianculli, sitting in for Terry Gross.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer had a very shiny nose. And if you ever saw it, you would even say it glows. All of the other reindeer used to laugh and call him names. They never let poor Rudolph join in any reindeer games. There was a funny Christmas.
As if you couldn't tell, that's Tiny Tim. And it's one of the least unusual tracks on the CD, A John Waters Christmas. It's an anthology of catchy, entertaining, and ridiculous Christmas records, selected by filmmaker John Waters. He spoke with Terry last year about the collection. Waters has had a lifelong fascination with the odd and unusual. His movies include the cult classic Pink Flamingos, which established his reputation as the king of bad taste. Waters' more recent and more mainstream movie, Hairspray, was adapted into a hit Broadway musical. And now that musical is being adapted into a movie. Waters also has other irons in the fire, including a new reality-based series about to premiere on Court TV. It's called Till Death Do Us Part. Each episode deals with a real-life spousal murder and opens with a reenactment of the wedding. Waters will serve as host, or as he calls it, the Groom Reaper. Sounds tacky, even tasteless? Welcome to John Waters territory. As we'll hear, the opening track of A John Waters Christmas has a special connection to Waters. Here it is, Fat Daddy is Santa Claus.
I'm Fat Daddy,
la, 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 la.
I'm Santa Claus, woo, woo, yeah. I'm Fat Daddy,
la, 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 la.
The reindeer boss. And toys, you know I'm on my way to greet all the good little girlies and boys. Oh yeah, I'm Fat Daddy.
That's Fat Daddy featuring Fat Daddy from A John Waters Christmas. John Waters, welcome back to Fresh Air.
Thanks. Good to be here.
Who is Fat Daddy?
Fat Daddy was a DJ in Baltimore, one of the very most popular ones. When I was a teenager, he was on WSID, and later he was on the Buddy Dean Show, which I based Hairspray on, and he hosted Negro Day, and they actually called it that. And he would wear an imperial margarine crown and a long cloak, and he inspired the character that's in Hairspray the movie and the Broadway musical of Motormouth Maybelle. He talked like that fast, like, ooh, poppity diddle, I'm Fat Daddy. And he had this song called Fat Daddy that was a Christmas carol that was certainly a big hit only in Baltimore, as far as I know, and had been out of print for a long, long time. So that was one of the main reasons I wanted to do the John Waters Christmas, was to get the Fat Daddy Christmas carol back in print. In Baltimore in the early 60s, all cool white kids and all black kids listened to Fat Daddy. It was really the first way that we heard rhythm and blues. He then went on the Buddy Dean Show. He was very, very loved by the teen community and all the black community in Baltimore, certainly. We had great black radio stations in Baltimore, WSID, WEBB, WWIN, and sometimes if the weather was good, we could get WANN from Annapolis with Hoppy Adams, the only station that would play What I Say Part 2.
What was Negro Day like?
Negro Day was all black kids dancing, but the difference was on the Buddy Dean Show, they had regulars on White Day, which was every day, and that was a line in the Broadway musical, but basically, they had a white committee, it was called, and it was regulars on the show that got fan mail, and they did close-ups, and the committee had to come to work every day, really, and their job was to ask guests to dance. There was no black committee. They were just all guests, and it was one day, maybe a month, or I'm not sure how often it was on, but it was on, and Fat Daddy would be the host that day. There were no white people on Negro Day, and there were no black people on White Day, and the show later went off the air because of when it was integrated by girls that started ironing their hair instead of having teased hair. And, of course, in the movie, I gave it a happy ending. I integrated the show. That did not really happen in real life.
Mm. So what were the criteria that you used to select the records for A John Waters Christmas?
Well, I wanted to have an album that what it would be like if you came over to my house at Christmas and I got all my old records out and played you my favorite Christmas carols. I work with a guy named Larry Banishevitz who has this incredible record collection. I have worked with him since Crybaby on all my movies, and he helps me unearth. He has these insane Christmas classics, my kind of classic. Certainly, I wanted to put songs on here that probably no one did know. Many of them, there's a few people know, like the Chipmunks and Tiny Tim probably, but many of the other ones are almost unknown to most people. And I don't think any of these songs are campy. I think a few are awful, but they're so awful, they're perfect. And I don't think any of them really were hipster songs. I think that they were serious Christmas songs that somehow were just too eccentric or went awry for the regular public to ever really possibly have success with them.
Let's hear another song from A John Waters Christmas. This is a doo-wop track. It's called Christmas Time Is Coming, a street carol performed by Stormy Weather. Why'd you choose this one?
I chose it because it reminded me when I first grew up in Lutherville, Maryland, and near where I lived was a segregated little black part of the community. And a lot of the people that lived there walked past my house at night singing a cappella, and I'd be like an 8-year-old kid lying in bed at night and hear it. And I use that in Hairspray the movie very much, that image. And it just felt liberating to me to hear this music, and it sounded so beautiful outside my house. So it just seemed to be a Christmas carol that reminded me of that.
All right. Well,
and I had a very white Christmas, all meaning of that word. And this was a little bit different and a little bit something that seemed more exciting to me.
Okay, so this is Christmas Time Is Coming.
Do, do, do. Christmas time is here.
Do, do, do.
Christmas time is here.
Christmas time is coming.
Do, do, do.
There's snow falling
do, do, do.
On the street. The holidays are near.
Do, do, do.
Shoppers buying
do, do.
Christmas trees.
We're
apple ball.
Christmas time is here, Christmas time is here,
the New Year's Eve is coming, we'll all sing the old Lang Syne, I'll whisper in your ear, I'll be yours, so please be mine,
we'll have a ball,
we'll have a
dancing and all. Christmas time is here, Christmas time is here.
This is the time for love,
this
is the time for cheer.
It's a track from the new CD, A John Waters Christmas, and John Waters is my guest. There's a line in that song that sounds like the same line from the Dream Lover song, When We Get Married. We'll have a ball dancing and all. I wonder who got it from who.
I don't know. You know, sometimes these songs, when I have the records, they didn't even have the dates on them. Some were later than you thought, and some were much earlier.
Yeah.
There's a song on here, Happy Birthday Jesus, by Little Cindy, that's one of my favorites. And I have no idea when that movie came out. Is Little Cindy alive? Does she know she's back out there in front of the public? Because you listen to that song, and my imagination gets carried away. I think of maybe like in the South somewhere in some pitiful little recording studio, and Little Cindy, maybe the Jean Bonnet of her community, has been forced to come in there and sing this song in a torn Rhoda Penmark party dress, and even the mistakes are left in. There's only one take with Little Cindy. She didn't get a second take. And that's, to me, the most fascinating piece of the song, is trying to picture Little Cindy singing Happy Birthday Jesus. And later, Patti Page covered that song.
Why don't we hear it?
This is
Little Cindy, Happy Birthday Jesus, A Child's Prayer.
A house so quiet and humble, a child beside her bed, her hands clasped tightly, it's time to pray. So she bows her little head.
Happy birthday, Jesus. Mama said that you was near, and that you had a birthday this time every year. She told me how you listened to every word we say, and that you hear us calling in the night or in the day. She explained how bad they hurt you, those awful naughty men, but said you let them do it, for girls like me would sin. She said about the manger they took and put you in. I'd let you have my blanket if I was here back then. She said that you are watching everything we do, her and Daddy and Granny and our new baby too. I like when Mama told me of how you healed the lame and that they didn't have to have any wealth or fame. She told you us to walk.
What were the records that you loved and hated most on the radio Christmas time when you were growing up?
I always really hated the little drummer boy. I wish Old Dirty Bastard. I wish Old Dirty Bastard had recorded that before he died. I think it would have been a great Christmas album. I hated the corny ones you just heard over and over, like the Muzak versions. I like sometimes when they did a punk rock version of it, or if the Chipmunks did it, or I always liked a twist on it. Santa Claus is a Black Man, to me, is the mother lode of all crackpot Christmas carols, not because I believe Santa Claus is a Black Man is such an odd idea. It was just such an odd, great black Kwanzaa song that came out, and I remembered it from Baltimore, and I really, really loved it because it starts with a kid singing, and then the dad comes in, and then the mother comes in, and she sounds amazing. And it's almost like you expect the Chipmunks to come in, which they do on another record. The Chipmunks are a great presence in my life. We can get to that in a minute. But so this song I didn't have. Even Larry Benishevitz did not have this song.
We should hear Santa Claus is a Black Man. And so this is something you grew up with?
Well, I heard it in the 70s on the radio, and
I loved it. Yeah, you were already a filmmaker.
I was already on pot. I probably heard it on marijuana at that period of my life. And it was such a great song to me. It seemed liberating so much. And when you hear it today, when he says, Daddy, he had an afro like yours, happy Kwanzaa. Oh, it's just great to me. It's just very, very touching to me.
This is Santa Claus is a Black Man from the new CD, A John Waters Christmas. And it's performed by Akim and the Teddy Van Production Company.
Yep. And Akim is the kid. And I guess Teddy Van's the dad, I would imagine.
All right. Well, I guess we'll never really know unless somebody calls us and tells us. Okay.
Please, little Cindy, if you're hearing this, call. What's a number?
Well, here's the record.
Hey.
Black man.
Did you ever believe in Santa Claus?
Yes, I did believe in Santa Claus. There's a picture of me. My parents have a picture of myself sitting on Santa Claus's lap. Yes, I believed it. Sometimes I get confused and wonder if the Santa Claus knew my guardian angel. But Santa Claus, I did believe in. And eventually you hear things in school. And it is weird that your parents lie to you about all that early. But I guess it's fair. It's a good belief. I do like Christmas for real, without irony. So obviously I had a happy home at Christmas. There's a picture in my parents' scrapbook that always sort of sums up what my life is going to be like. I guess I was about 10 years old, and I'm under the tree with my presents, and in one hand I have a hand puppet, because I had asked for that, and I was a puppeteer at children's birthday parties at the time. And in the other hand is the Genius of Ray Charles album that I had asked for. And it's such a weird picture, because my parents went and bought me that album. And I guess that showed that even though they knew then I wasn't fitting in, that they were supportive as they knew how to be at the time.
Oh, that's great. Now, I'm amazed that you do Christmas without irony at your house, because, I mean, you seem so constantly
now
to be about irony.
I do love Christmas today without irony. I'm not saying there isn't some irony in my house at Christmas. Certainly my sister-in-law does a wreath for me out of sticker bushes that rips at your clothes and scratches you when you come in my door. Someone did make for me a set of Christmas balls that are serial killers. That actually, it was a funny gift. You can make them for your friends, too. You could make badly dressed terrorists. You could do all sorts of themes. You just buy cheap Christmas balls and cut pictures out and glue them on Christmas balls, and it looks nice. It's a nice gift you can give other people at Christmas, your family. If you've run out of ideas, I might suggest that.
I guess I'd be disappointed if you did anything without a degree of bad taste and irony. But what's the non-ironic part of Christmas for you?
Well, you know, I have three brothers and sisters, so every 4 years it's my turn to cook the whole Christmas dinner for my family, my parents, and I do that. I did it last year, so I have 3 years off now. I can go to the other ones. Certainly, Christmas morning, my parents come over, we give each other presents. I don't think there's a lot of irony involved in that. You know, I don't give my mother whoopee cushions or anything. You know, it certainly is as traditional as it can be without being, you know, ridiculous. It's not Leave It to Beaver's family. But certainly, I do like Christmas. I've had the same Christmas party for 40 years. In the early days, it was always at least 100 people. And in the early days, every person was expected to buy a present for all 100 people. So there would be 10,000 presents in the house. And those were the days when you could find things for a quarter in a thrift shop. But it was frightening when everybody started opening them. It was an orgy of gift opening. Well, I still have to buy about 70 Christmas presents every year.
Where do you go shopping for Christmas gifts? Do you do flea markets? Where do you go?
No, I don't do flea markets, actually. I mostly give everybody I know books. Almost every person gets books. So I go to bookshops, and there's special ones I go to in each city. I can't wait to go to San Francisco. My favorite bookshop is there called K.O. Books that specializes in uncollectibles. It's amazing.
They uncollectibles?
Have like,
what is that?
Yeah. Well, it means like movie tie-ins, movie novelizations, sex books. They have a whole series about abortion, juvenile delinquency. It's the most amazing bookshop, and you can find the best gifts there because it's very greatly priced. It's fairly priced, and there's books you've just never seen there that are so hilarious, and it's a great place to find good Christmas presents. And I don't own it. I'm not giving it a plug of something I own.
Okay, it's time for another track from a John Waters Christmas, your new CD. And I'm going to go with something very conventional here. Because most of the records we've been hearing, we don't really know the genealogy of the recording, because they're like found records. But this is Alvin and the Chipmunks,
mm-hmm.
Which you say figured prominently into your childhood.
Yes.
I think everybody who grew up in, I guess it was like the late 50s, grew up with Alvin and the Chipmunks. Why do you care about them?
Well, I think they're sexy, actually.
You think they're sexy?
A bad boy in a band. Actually, in real life, if people talk fast, I'm turned on. I'm always hoping that someone will be talking so fast that they go into chipmunk talk, and then I can ask them to marry me. I have the hots for the Chipmunks, Terry. It's a hard thing to explain. I Like a Bad Boy in a Band. Wasn't that Alvin? There was also Fake Chipmunks that tried to rip off their title called The Squirrels. They were lower-level chipmunks. I love the idea. Sometimes I can make all my records be sung by the chipmunks if you just play it at the wrong speed. The difference is the chipmunks, the music is at the right speed. The voice is at the wrong speed. So I've always been fascinated by them. I want them to continue. The chipmunks can't die. I don't get why there's not new chipmunk songs. I've just always been fascinated by them from the moment I heard them. They even did a punk rock album that was quite good, too, that came out in the 70s.
The Chipmunks did a punk rock album?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Chipmunk Punk, it's called. I have it.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, gosh.
So I want them to do a rap album. Wouldn't the Chipmunks rapping be great?
So this is Alvin and the Chipmunks singing Sleigh Ride from the new CD of John Waters' Christmas. Alvin and the Chipmunks, featured on the new anthology of John Waters' Christmas, and filmmaker John Waters is my guest. Would you be interested in recommending some good movies for the holiday?
Yeah, I know a movie I really, really liked. It's called Jesus You Know, and it's made by this guy named Ulrich Seidel, a director in Vienna I like very much, who made a really depressing movie called Dog Days that I liked very much. It's just people coming in churches and saying their prayers out loud to the camera, which is one of the most maddening films I've ever seen. And you realize that if the whatever the supreme being is had to listen to really what everybody say in their prayers, he or she would lose their mind from listening to people's prayers. And it's an amazing movie. I'm amazed that it has distribution. The only other woman in the theater when I went was the woman in that documentary Cinemania that goes to five movies a day.
Yeah.
And she was there. And I feel so bad because I'm just so amazed that this movie got out there, so I would recommend seeing that quickly. That's my favorite holiday movie.
Do you have any favorite, like, Christmas movies?
Yes.
That you would recommend for renting on the holidays?
Yes. It's called Christmas Evil, and it's about a guy, a
Christmas
lonely
Evil?
Man.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Christmas Evil. It's about a lonely man that one day while he's shaving with shaving cream on his face realizes he looks like Santa Claus. So he gets a job in a toy factory. He starts spying on children. He gets a little book and writes down good little boy, bad little girl. He starts cross-dressing as Claus and passes. As Christmas gets near, he creepy crawls around people's roofs and finally takes the plunge on Christmas Eve and goes down a chimney, gets caught, stuck, irate parents, start screaming. He panics, grabs a razor-sharp ornament off the tree, cuts the parents' throat, and run. And then there's a mob of parents trying to get him, but all the children in the community believe he's real, and they perform a protective ring around him, and then he takes off on the sleigh, getting away with murder. It's an amazing movie.
Is it a comedy or a horror film?
To me, it's a religious film. It's, I suppose, a horror film.
Well, I'd like to close with another record from your anthology of John Waters' Christmas, and I'm going to let mm-hmm. you choose this last one.
Well, the song I'd like to play is one that I think it's a touching, beautiful song. It's called Santa Don't Pass Me By. It's kind of a lonely song about a man who wants to get home for Christmas, and he's hitchhiking, and he's hoping Santa will pick him up. I love to hitchhike. I still do. It's my midlife crisis. I hitchhike a lot, actually, in the summer. And I have a sign in Provincetown that says the beach where I go. And I have hitchhiking dates. I ask people, you want to go on a hitchhiking trip with me? And it's a great fun for me. It's my midlife crisis. Other men get sport cars. I hitchhike. So it was important to me to have a song on there about hitchhiking. And I guess that would be the ultimate ride, wasn't it? If you're hitchhiking and Santa Claus picks you up.
A nice fantasy. Well, John Waters, thank you so much. Merry Christmas.
Same to you. And happy holidays and Kwanzaa.
And thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Terry, for having me.
John Waters speaking to Terry Gross in 2004. His CD anthology is called A John Waters Christmas.
I'm gonna hitch a ride with old St. Nick, for I'm sure he'll pass your way. Yes, I'll be home for Christmas if there's room on Santa's sleigh.